sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobia, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends, though the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, hey, hey. 2021.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
You cannot talk!
Episode 135. Le verbe prévenir. I'm going to start off with some poetry for you folks, for you kids. Who the fuck is this? Paging me at 5:46 in the morning. Crack of dawn in, and now I'm yawning. Wipe the cold out my eye. See who's this paging me and why. It's my nigga Pop from the barbershop. Told me he was in the gambling spot and heard the intricate plot of niggas wanna stick me like fly paper neighbor. Slow down, love. Please chill. Drop the caper. Digger Pop talking now. Remember them niggas from the hill up in Brownsville that you rolled up, that you rolled dice with, smoked blunts and got nice with? Now this is Biggie. Yeah, my nigga fame up in the prospect. Nah, them my niggas, nah, love wouldn't disrespect. And now Pop. I didn't say them, they schooled me to some niggas that you knew from back when you were clocking minor figures. Now they heard you blowing up like nitro, and they want to stick a knife through your windpipe slow. So thank fame for warning me, because now I'm warning you. I got the Mac, nigga, tell me what you want to do. Damn, niggas want to stick me for my papers. Damn. Niggas want to stick me for my paper. I fucked that up, didn't I? It did come up. You know what? It's poetry. I'm just the interpreter, all right? That's all I am in there. Okay, all right. Hey, welcome. Bienvenue à un autre episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com and a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B. Ding, 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 ding. Before I start the show, I want to welcome back you returning listeners. Ha, high five, man. Yeah, we're going to NDC it properly. And holler at you new listeners. And just give you a heads up that this podcast is protected by the red, the black, and the green. And waves a red, black, and a red, blue flag. Rouge et bleu is up in this bitch. I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up in the 80s watching TV Ontario, Télé Québec, and Soul in the City on Much Music. Today's date is December 17, 2023, 9:01 p.m. on the Sabbath day. And this episode is also being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquian territory. One last thing, this episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. All right. Okay, we got through this. We got through the intro. I feel okay. So, contrary to public speaking, you know, no. Okay, I'm gonna break the rules of public speaking and apologize for fucking up that Biggie rhyme. The flow didn't go. I was trying to make it sound like a regular poem, but then remembered there was a second part to it. So it was poem mixed with. I didn't practice it. So yeah. Okay. All right. Hey, so check this out. For you listeners, just to help you get situated, on my podcast or every episode, I like to break it down into three parts. If you go into show notes, you'll see the titles of these three parts, or act, if you will. First act is introduction. Second act is news and random thought. Last act is final thoughts. Now, in the introduction, I like to do shit like I just did already. Play the theme, start off with the theme, give out the title of today's episode, 135 Le Verre Privé. Yes, it is in French, and Google it. You know, Google is your friend. You can translate. I'm sorry, I don't want to be rude, but I'm just... I still haven't decided whether this is a bilingual podcast or whether this is... whether my audience is a English-speaking audience or that I need to translate shit from, or I should expect my audience to be bilingual, or at the very least, use Google Translate. I don't use a lot of French, but I use French because that's how I naturally speak with people that I feel close to. Where I'm from, we call it Franglish. You know what I mean. What else? In the introduction, I like to, the title, recite some poetry, and then, do a little, welcome you guests, greet the guests, and give you a kind of warning of the kind of podcast you're listening to. See, sometimes I like to think that my listeners are either returning listeners or people who clicked on the podcast by mistake. So it's just, hey, give you some context. No, I'm not dissing myself. I'm trying to be funny. All right, okay. All right, another thing I like to do in the introduction is share some current news. Not news, but more like history, dates. For example, RIP Andre Breuer. Most of you might recognize him or remember him from Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I remember him from that movie he did with acting in the movie Get Off the Bus. Like, his resume is long. He's got a long-ass resume. You know, anything he touched, he was good at. He was great in. But I feel like that's the part that... when I think of him, I think of his role in Get Off the Bus. I know that movie impacted me. Another, so RIP Andre Breuer, and thank you for your contribution, I guess, brother. Another RIP is for Richard Pryor. We're remembering his death anniversary. Hold on a second. I completely forgot. Andre Breuer passed away on December 11, 2023. So this is a recent death. Now for Richard Pryor, this is death anniversary. His death anniversary was on December 10th, 2005. Oh, wow. Los Angeles, California, age 65. And what's interesting is how I only thought about his death is because I just finished the book Black is the New White by Paul Mooney. It's a biography of, it's a memoir. It's his memoir. And I had just did the chapter where he's going through, talks about his feelings about Richard Pryor passing away, and it's it was brutal. It was, Pryor was a funny man, but he was a tortured soul, man. I get the feeling, based on what, he was a tortured soul. I'm just going to leave it at that. Hold on. I'm trying to find out, what did he die from? Was it substance abuse? Death. On the morning of December 10, 2005, 9 days after his 65th birthday, that's right, Pryor had a third heart attack at his house in Los Angeles. Three heart attacks, god damn. After his wife failed attempt to resuscitate him, wow, he was taken to local West Side Hospital where he was pronounced dead at 7:58 a.m. PST, Pacific Standard Time. His widow, Jennifer, was quoted as saying, at the end, there was a smile on his face. He was cremated and his ashes were given to his family. His ashes were scattered on the bay at Hana, Hawaii by his widow in 2019. Forensic pathologist Michael Hunter believes Pryor's fatal heart attack was caused by a coronary artery disease that was at least partially brought about by his years of tobacco smoking. Oh, the cigarettes killed him. Wow. The tobacco killed him. I thought it was the drug use. Okay. Wow. I don't know. Didn't he also have MS? Multiple, but anyway, whatever. It just the way Paul Mooney spoke about him, it was like, they were close. You could tell they were close. Anyway, RIP, Richard Pryor. We remember you. I'm going to have to go through his book. Also, during the introduction, I like to do shit like I said, some history, and another history worth remembering this week is Dr. Dre, The Chronic album was released on December 15, 1992. Let me just make a quick correction to my notes here. I put December in here twice, but you didn't need to know that. Okay, all right. Yeah, December 15, yeah, The Chronic. And another thing I like to do in the introduction is read quotes, but in this particular case, I'm going to play this TikTok clip by an angel. I go content creator, but it's content creator angel, who I'm going to share her well wishes with the rest of you. And because I just thought it was very moving, and the voice and the and whatever, it just, I'm grateful for this well wish. So here we go.
I hope that the people who are for you find you. And when they do, I hope that you have the capacity in your heart space to receive their love, their reciprocity, and their goodness. I hope that you remember that you don't just have to stay put. You don't have to keep going along to get along. I hope this next season leaves you feeling more supported and less let down. Don't forget that you deserve to be held and cared for too. I hope that you have relationships in your life that leave you feeling nourished and full. And if you don't, I hope that you trust that your people are on their way.
Wow.
The goodness you seek is also seeking you. May you remember now and always that you're worthy of the same joy that you wish for other people.
Okay? Oh, man, right back at you, sister. My God. Okay, the content creator's name is Alex Ellie. Alex Ellie here, I just got to click on her profile. You know what? That's an immediate. Oh, I'm not logged in. But that deserves a follow. You know, I think it's just more when a complete stranger says the things that you needed to hear in this particular time. I think that's why I'm sharing it. It was very powerful. Very powerful. And also the way she was speaking, it's very powerful. All right, that's it for intro. Now we're going to jump to using random thoughts. Okay? You kids ready? All right, let's do this. All right, let's go. All right, I don't know if you can tell, but I'm trying to sound like a professional speaker by not using bridge words or not using and it's driving me nuts. It's fucking driving. And what's funny is I used to be able to do it naturally. And once I got into the habit, it felt powerful. The ability to recognize your want, the ability to recognize when you're about to use a bridge word or use one of those and not do it. So right now it's like, you know what it is? It's like, I feel like I'm trying to give up a very addictive drug, and I'm not rehab. I'm on not relapse. I'm on what's that word? I'm on. Oh my God, you gonna fuck with me? It's only when I need the word that I won't remember the word. I'm on not relapse, but I'm on when you're. Jesus Christ, it's on the tip of my tongue too. Shout out to my listeners. You know, I need to get a chat. Shout out to the listeners. I know you're listening to me going using the word. It's Rudraw. Hey, thank you. Thank you. You know, I'm convinced that Angel is listening to this podcast and use telepathy. Withdraw. Yes, I mean withdraw every time I try not to use the. But anyways, here we are. Wish me luck. This is me doing an impersonation of a professional speaker. All right, boys and girls, check this out. For today's news and random thoughts, I don't have a lot of items. Not that I'm complaining. At first, I was like, oh, maybe I need to put more stuff. And I'm like, you know what? No, I'm going to flow with this. I actually, compared to what I usually do, I don't have a lot of stuff to cover. But so that's why I started out with, how was your day, B Black? I feel the need to preach about my day. Now, I was supposed to have met up with a friend, just an old friend from the comedy days, but they had an accident that caused them to, we had to reschedule. But I'm an introvert. I love cancel play. Oh my God, I love cancel. because when I make plans with someone, I'm so stressed out about being there on time and looking at the time and making sure that I budget properly, that, okay, I have time to do this, that, nope. Nope, hold on, you're going to have to skip jerking off this today, whatever. And so when he canceled, rescheduled, I'm like, okay, so I get to post-date that stress. And today, Sunday was an easy Sunday, exactly like the song, man. Easy like Sunday morning by the Commodore. Is it Commodore or, I knew it said Jesse Jackson. No, the guy who sings All Night Long. Easy like Sunday, Lionel Richie, Sunday morning. No, is it Commodore or Lionel Richie? Yeah, it is. Yeah, because I'm easy. Wait. These guys are saying Commodore. Which one is it? But whatever. My point is, it was a very laid back, I'm trying to be grateful here, laid back Sunday afternoon. I watched a lot of movies. I'll get to that. It's probably the last. It's gonna be the last thing I cover on this episode. But I really want to acknowledge how it was so chill, and I remember how I was thinking about recording this podcast, and I was just like, you know what? Fuck it. Record it towards the end of the day. Make it the last thing you do before going to bed. I was able to do my laundry, folded not all of it, but folded some towels. And there is a bit of, there is a bit of, what's that, woosah in folding laundry. I can't explain it, but there's something relaxing about folding laundry. Oh, and the other thing, you know what? Because usually this is a Sunday. On a Sunday, I'm usually stressed out because it's Monday the next day. But in this particular case, this is a Monday, the last Monday of 2020. This is my last work Monday of 2020 of the year. I love that last week before the holidays, that those final days before you get to check out for 2 days, well, depending if you take the time off. But I love this particular time of the year. It's just so chill. Like, no, my luck, some motherfucker, we're gonna have emergency at, we're gonna have some crisis at work that I have to respond to. But I pretty much covered everything I needed to do. So the next, I'm hoping, don't jinx it, knock on wood, the next 5 days should be chill. You got to chill. Sorry, this is me imitating EPMD. You got to chill. Hold on, let me do this. EPMD. I fucked up the you got to chill. Here we go. Yeah, I know you know the song, but fuck it. I got ADD, man. I get distracted, so I just feel like playing it.
You got to chill. Chill. Chill.
Chill.
Chill.
Chill.
Whoa. Jungle Boogie. The employee of the month. Yeah, we back to work. I took time off. Call you suckers got jerked. Due to the fact they lacked and they tried. It's hard to go back and talk because they lacked the spirit. Okay, you know. I'm surprised I remember that much. But yeah, my point is, it's going to be a really chill. It should be a chill week. I mean, I remember 1 year where I wasn't on that project, sorry. And I do know friends who were on projects where they had to work throughout the holidays to meet some fucking deadline because they're some punk ass. Some punk ass gave him a deadline that no human being could meet. You know what? This is me just trying to acknowledge good shit, all right? So today I had a really chill day. It's going to be a lot more chill after I hit this blunt. Yeah, and I, oh, right. And I'm also grateful that I didn't, I'm just bad. I have a, speaking of addiction, calling Uber Eats, that I cooked something. I made myself. By the way, shout out to Mexico for giving the world tacos. Jesus Christ. I mean, okay, the tacos I made weren't real, I mean, weren't like authentic Mexico tacos, but they were good enough for me to fill my tummy up and not have to order in. So yeah, I'm just feeling kind of, I guess I'm feeling, this is kind of rare, but I'm kind of feeling a little grateful for this moment, all right? So in a way, that was my day. Later on, at the last segment is I will talk about some of the TV shows and movies that I watch throughout the weekend. But for today, feeling like Ice Cube after he realized he didn't have to use an AK. Today was a good day. Oh, take it easy. Okay, don't jinx it. You know, it's not popular for me to... Anyways. All right, okay. Okay, let's play this. This is... I labeled this one under something Anthony Jeselnik. How do you pronounce this thing's name? Doesn't matter, right? So this comedian, I don't know this particular comedian, but he said something that I really liked and said, fuck this, I'm sharing this shit on this podcast, on this episode. And here he goes. Is there a caption?
Getting, and all these comics.
Basically, he's, you know what? I'll let him explain himself, but here we go.
Now it's like almost the point is to get in trouble. It's like, why are you giving me shit? I'm a comic. I'm allowed to say whatever I want. That's wrong as far as I'm concerned. Art.
Oh, wait, say it again so I don't miss it.
People think like, oh, as a comic, your job is to get in trouble. And so, but they don't want to get yelled at. Mm. It's like, it's okay to make people mad, but they don't want any pushback. And I think that's wrong.
Ah.
As a comedian, you want to make people laugh.
Right.
Andy, this is a quote attributed to Andy Warhol that I love. It's just, art is getting away with it. You know, if you put out a special and everyone's pissed, like, you didn't get away with it. You know, you need to make everyone laugh that they're like, yeah, he talked about some fucked up stuff, but we're all happy. That's art. Otherwise, you're just a troll. And all these comics now, it's like almost the point is to get in trouble. It's like, why are you giving...
Right. Okay. You know what? I am going to Google something that I just found out fresh off the press. I was listening, because while I was cooking, I like to listen to podcasts, and I was listening to Black Guy Who Tips. Is it Matt Rife? Yeah, Matt Rife. And did this nigga really do what he... I think... Okay. Now I'm going to type the name that won't be pronounced on here. Jordan. Yeah. Anyways. Did he really... Matt Rife cancellation. Did that nigga really do that? Did this dude really do... Yes, he did. All right. Okay. You know what? That's a powerful thought. By the way, I'm the seed of going back to comedy has been planted. And right now I'm just dealing with the attitude. I'm just dealing with the man in the mirror. I'm negotiating with the guy in the mirror. That's what it's all about. But I love what he said about that. Who's it? Andrew Worf? Is that who's it? Andrew Worf? Is it Andrew Worf? Is that the name of the... Whatever, the quote is... The goal of comedy is getting away with it. Yo, when South Park did that clip on the N-word, that shit was genius. That's an example of getting away with it. Because it was fucking funny. I'm talking about the naggers. I'm just thinking about it makes me laugh. Okay, the rest of the episode wasn't that great, but that particular joke was fucking genius on their part. Because they got away with it. And I don't mean got away with it in a malicious way. I mean they got away with it in a comedian's way. When they make you laugh about shit you're not supposed to laugh at. Now, I fucking hate this generation of comedians because they had me believing it too. This generation of comedians acting like they're the fucking victims and, they can't say what they want to say. People are bitches or they can't. No, you suck, dude. You're not fucking funny. You know how many jokes I've laughed at Sure, I'll take the blame. It's my fault. But how many fucking jokes I've laughed at that weren't funny? And the only reason I laugh is to preserve that little bitch's feeling. No, for two reasons. Okay, there's a selfish reason. One, to preserve their feelings. Two, because I didn't want them to be attacking me like I'm the problem for not. Come on, man. It's just a nigger joke. You know, it's just a black joke. You're being a little too sensitive. I think it's the worst. The cancel culture. It's the worst. Cop out. It's the worst. Okay, hold on. Let me back up. Yes, I do know that. That's okay. I'm not going to talk about. Yes, there are people with sticks in their ass, but that's not who I'm talking about. I'm talking about the whack ass comments, comics who aren't fun. No, it's not that they're not funny. It's when they make a joke that you don't think is funny. You don't feel like laughing. It's not inspiring. It's not tickling your funny bone or anything like that. Even worse, it inspires you. I kind of want to kick your ass for that joke. It's bottom line, you just don't want to laugh. They get upset that you're not laughing. No, okay. They get upset that you make a point about the fact that, hey, dude, that shit wasn't funny. Anyway, yeah, so shout out to homie, man. There's this joke that I'm working on. It's funny. I don't believe I'm talking about. You know what? That's the last time I do a bit in therapy. Two reasons. One, it's because if they don't laugh, it makes it worse. No. It's not that. It's just I have, you know what? I have jokes in my mind that I want to put out into the world, but I'm scared to do so. I'm scared that it just won't be funny. And I'm not worried about it being offensive, but I am. I'm very, I guess this might be my 2024 resolution, very hard on myself. And I don't mean hard on myself like all those pros talk about. No, I'm hard on myself to the point where, well, look at this podcast and how much I don't, and the lack of promotion I put into this podcast. Like, I'm my greatest enemy. I need to come to terms with the fact that no one on the internet, no one out of all the critics in the world, no one is as harsh as myself. Sure, people will say things, but I've said worse. Like, I need to come to terms that, no, when it comes to the real king of hurting your feelings is yourself. Everyone else can, you know, suck your dick. With that said, I probably forgot, I got distracted. So apparently Matt Rife did an interview with Jordan Peterson to talk about cancel culture. Little bitch. Oh, you suck, man. You know, I had a thought about Matt Rife. Oh, right. I think I had committed myself. No, I didn't really commit. I had semi-committed myself to not jump on the Matt Rife. The fuck Matt Rife bandwagon, because for all I know it, all this shit is strategic, man. He's just trying to keep himself. He's just trying to keep people using his name. He's not trying to be a celebrity. He's not trying to be a great comedian. He's just trying to be a celebrity. He just wants our name out there because there's currency in that shit. There's currency in having people talk shit about you. But I had a thought about Matt Rife. And it probably explains why a part of me was like, felt a little, what's the word? I want to say connection. It's like everything I saw about him, I felt like, yeah, he sounds like a dude that I would hang out with, that I'd be cool with. And cool with, and he's just a guy who made a decision that I can't follow him on, but I'm not going to like eat his lunch for it, be mean to him for it. And I think part of the reason why, I guess it's a bit of seeing myself in him. Not to say that I'm a comedian with a Netflix special. No, I see him as another human being trying to make a name for himself in the world. And we're all going about it our own ways. And there's something about him that I found was similar. And it's I'm wondering. This is just a theory. It's just a realization that I had about myself. I realized something about myself that sometimes I feel like I think a lot like women. like girls. And when I say women, I mean like the stereotypical woman. It's very common. Like a lot of my close friends are women. And I'm thinking about my cousins, the cousins I get along with the most, not just get along with, but I feel the most, I have my guards down the most are my female cousins. It's actually two in particular. And I'm thinking, it's the theory that I have. I think that, I think that I could have easily been a girl. I heard this one theory. My mom said when she was born, when she was expecting me, she thought she was getting a girl. And I say this shit. I never liked that shit. I never liked the idea of that. Oh fuck. Okay, you're a man and you're a woman in a guy's body. Some shit like that. I never liked the idea, but now I'm like made peace with that shit. And when I say think like women, I'm thinking about, like, I heard an example of how when women go for a job interview, when women are looking at job postings, if they don't have 100% of the what's qualified of the requirements, they don't apply. While men, all they need is 60% and they'll apply. Like, I could relate to a lot. I could relate to that mindset. A lot of things I've heard women say out loud, I'm like, shit, I could relate to that. Oh, fuck, yes, I'm in therapy. Anyway, my point is, at the beginning, I never liked the fact that, is what it is, I never liked the portion of me, the qualities that I have that are usually attributed to women. I was always uncomfortable with that shit. It always bothered me. Empathy, being sensitive, all that shit. I hated it. And because, you know, because I, in my mind, I'm supposed to be a real man. I'm supposed to be a big man. I'm supposed to be a man. So I rejected everything about me. I rejected, even though there's shit I could do about it, but I rejected everything about me that was considered feminine. I'm wondering if that's what happened with Matt Rife. Maybe with his career started off and he noticed that, yo, only chicks are showing up to his shows, are paying good fucking money to show up to his shows. And this was his final attempt to be like, no, I'm a real man. I'm a man. I want to be respected by other men. This was what's going on with either Matt Rife is doing some fuck shit to stay relevant, or he's a human. The part that connects with him wants to believe that maybe he's just not at peace with his feminine side. That's what I'm trying to say. Maybe that's why. And then that joke that he made about domestic violence was his attempt to be like, fellas, come on, man. Bring me out to the cookout. Let me hang out, fellas. Come on, I want to use. I got muscles and shit like that. I don't know. But yeah, I bring this up because I just heard someone speaking about him and the fact that he's on Jordan Peterson's podcast. And it just, I had a moment of imagining, when I try to imagine, see the world through his eyes, see his world through my eyes, that's the theory that I come up with. But I'm not sure if that's it, but I am disappointed at the fact that this motherfucker is on Jordan Peterson talking about cancel culture. Fuck, a non-comedian. Anyways, man, Jordan Peterson's gonna die, and all his theories with him. I mean, sure, they'll be recorded in books, but it's not gonna be. Anyway, sorry, if you can't tell, I'm not a fan of Jordan Peterson. Really, really dislike the guy. But I'm off track, man. Shout out to Anthony. Okay, let me figure out how to pronounce this guy's name. Anthony, hold on a second. Jeselnik, yeah. I act like I can't read in English, but let's see what he. Oh, this guy. Oh, shit. I'm trying to remember where I know him from. He's not just a comedian. He must be an actor. Oh, word? Okay. All right, let's see if I'm trying to, how to pronounce his name. No, Jeselnik. Fuck it. I'm not looking that up. Not that bad. All right. Yeah, if I'm taking my time, it's because I know I don't have a lot to cover. Okay. Oh, this next clip. You know what? This is in French. Again, this goes back to, I'm not sure what kind of audience this is, but Fuck it. I'm just going to play it just because it made me laugh. It's called The Flash Debate. It's in French. It only makes sense. But what I love about it is the title is Trans Debate in 17 Seconds. And the trans person expresses why he enjoys being a trans, and that's all we needed to hear. No fucking debate worth it. So I'm going to play it. Here we go.
Alors, Guignou, vous êtes transgenre, vous étiez une fille, et maintenant vous êtes un garçon. Êtes-vous heureux?
Oui, je suis très heureux.
Ah, oui.
Mais enfin, tout de même, Jésus.
Oh, ta gueule. Voilà, c'était Flash Débat. À demain.
All right, fuck it, I'm going to translate it for you. So the host asks the trans person, hey, you used to be a woman, now you're a man. Are you happy? Homie says, yes, I'm happy. Then this next dude. the next dude jumps in with, yeah, but Jesus, and the host cuts him off and gives him a...
Shut your mouth, Kane, bitch!
In French, no. No, he just says, tagger, it means shut up. Shut the fuck up. I mean, shut up. It just means shut up. Or shut your mouth. But I love how it ties to the title of this podcast, Tagger, Tagger Podcast. I don't know. I'm going to... Okay, really what I'm trying to get at out of this is, he asked the trans person a sincere question, an easy, simple question. Are you happy? Yes. Says yes. That's it. That's all we need to fucking know. Why is a man putting on a dress? Because it makes him happy. Why is a girl want to be a guy? Because it makes them happy. The quest is happiness. And it's not fucking with you. It has nothing to do with you. Like, someone broke it down for me very easily. Are they hurting you? Are they hurting others? No, they shut the fuck up. I mean, they're probably hurting your fragile ego. They're probably hurting that part of you that refuses to accept the world is larger than you initially perceived it. Well, bottom line is, it was a beautiful question. Are you happy? Homie responds with yes. End of story. All right. We all want the same thing. Okay, I'm going to rush this one. Okay, so the last one is I put on a list of what I'm watching. So yesterday I rewatched New Jack City. Oh, because I was, how did I get to watching New Jack City? What triggered New Jack City? Damn. Oh, it must have, no, was it because of Paul Mooney? No, you know what it is? No, I remember. I was watching... What's that Netflix special with, I think it's called Headliner. Netflix, let me put this in there. What's his name? Kevin Hart. And we said Dr. Dre. No, what's on our call? Chris Rock. It ain't Chris Rock, bitch. It's The Rock, bitch. Holy shit. Headliners only. There we go. Yeah, you know, I didn't really like that special too much. I mean, that's not the point. It's not to. I'm not saying this for you not to watch it. No, this might be one of those things that I just need to rewatch. But it didn't hit me that hard. But I remember watching Headliners, and Russian Headliners, and there was a reference to how he did New Jack City, and next thing you know, I'm like, oh yeah, I paused Headliner just so I could rewatch New Jack City. Love that movie. Love that movie. What else did I watch? Yes. Nobody? Yes, called Nobody with, what's that comedian's name? Man, shout out to all these comedians who are in movies. You forget, Nobody. Yes, the movie with Bob Aldenkirk. Who said his name? Oh, they must have mentioned his name on, Headliners only. Interesting movie. You know what? Nah, it's. I think it's a lot like that Keanu Reeves movie, John Wick. And what I love about it is how it just starts about as Bob Odenkirk being a regular guy like you. Basically, the people who made this movie were speaking to my personality. All of us men who go into work feeling like we ain't shit. We are insignificant. Our kids look down on us. But deep down inside, you push us to our limit and we will fuck you up. You know, it's a good distraction. Wait, how much did this, 7.4? Yeah. You know what it was, Kate? Okay, so the thing with Nobody, I would say it was a great movie, but it didn't hit me. I guess violent action movies don't do it for me like they used to. Because there's a lot of action. Back in the days, all that action would have had me stuck to the TV, but for some reason, I just wasn't feeling it. Again, I'm not telling you not to go watch Nobody. I'm speaking for myself. I'm just talking about my little experience and the concept is like great and everything, but it just didn't do it for me. Yeah, I know. It's gonna be hard for people who judge me by my taste. Blue-Eyed Samurai, man, Blue-Eyed Samurai. I'm at episode 3. I'm on the 4th episode, and it took the 3rd episode for me to finally like it. Again, usually kung fu movies or anime would have gotten my attention, but in this particular, you know, okay, I was going to say, this one didn't do it for me. No, that's not true. What got my attention was the fight scenes. And, yeah, you know what? Yeah, no, I'm shocked by how much I'm enjoying Blue Eye Samurai. Oh, the reason why I'm shocked that I like it, because every time I hear the word blue eye, I'm thinking of Blue Eye Jesus. And but in this particular case, the writers, the directors, the creators have managed to get me to sympathize with a blue-eyed devil. Like, see the world through their blue eyes. No, but more like, because there's a scene where, oh man, it's sad. It's sad. No, they really got me, man. I want to high five the creators for me. How they brought me into they made me sympathize with the main character. Like I look beyond my racism against the white man, my hatred towards the white man, and the main character is a mixed race character. Grew up in China or Japan? Summarize in Japan. And you can tell the shit that this particular character had to go through as a child because they were mixed race person. And wow, man. Like, I'm feeling their pain. So I think that's why I've been enjoying this. That's why I'm enjoying Blue Eye. I've been thinking about, why the fuck am I watching this Blue Eye Devil Cracker shit? And because the creators managed to get me to take a journey through their shoes. And yeah, it's kind of badass. It's really badass. Especially the fight scenes are really good. And yeah, I recommend it. What else am I watching? Last I'm going to put on the list is Gilded Age. Gilded Age. You know, I think I might do a review for that show. I'm going to find someone to do a review with. But I'm convinced I'm the only black man on this planet who's watching Gilded Age. Now, I'm also, before you take offense to what I said, I'm also the guy who used to say that, yeah, I'm the only black nerd. I'm the only black guy who knows computers. Because in my circle, yeah, because I'm comparing it to my circle. But what I'm saying is I would love to meet other people who, especially black folks, who watching Gilded Age. And if you're a black anime watching Gilded Age, holler at me. Why are you enjoying the show? Because you know we're not supposed to. According to the rules of the cult of masculinity, thou shalt not watch that kind of movie. But yeah, that's it. This summarizes news and random thoughts. One last point to make is I mentioned earlier how this is like five work days before the holidays. Oh, this should have been the title of today's episode. 5 days before the holidays. 5 work days before the holidays. And, right. This next episode might be the last episode. I'm debating on it. I think it might be the last episode before the New Year's. Who knows? It might be a bonus one, but yeah, heads up. I'm warming up to the idea. I'm just warming up that to expect this episode and the next one, and that might be it for the year. Unless I decide to change my mind and record a bonus episode. Yeah, but you know what? Okay, officially speaking, this and... So after this episode, you can expect one more before the end of the year. Anything else will just be bonus. All right? Okay. All right, with that said, let's jump to final thoughts. Okay, let's go. Okay. All right. What's up? Final thoughts. So in final thought, I just usually final thought relates to, that's the pattern, relates to the title of the episode. And what's up with today's title? Le Verbe Prévenir. Now, again, I'm not sure if my audience, if I'm speaking to a bilingual audience, but for the sake of conversation, I'm going to pretend that I'm speaking to a crowd that doesn't know shit about French. So the title of the episode is The Verbe Prévenir. But I said it in French in particular because it had me thinking about, okay, the main point is it had me thinking about it had me thinking about how I grew up with the notion that the only way to prevent violence is with the threat of violence. The only way to keep these evil motherfuckers off your back, kind of like prison. I think I've treated life like prison, or my life like prison, in a sense that the only way a guy like me can get people to act right is by convincing them that if they don't act right around me, if you don't pay me on time, if you disrespect me, or if you do anything that I don't like, the threat of violence is around. Now, I bring this up because, maybe I should have written this down. Okay, I'm debating on how much detail. No, you know what? Fuck it. All right. So I had an incident at my work. A racial incident that happened at my work. Like the kind of shit. Like now, racist incidents at work always happens a lot. But this particular incident was difficult for me to swallow it, to just take it. And it happened around the same time of George Floyd's death. That was like, I remember trying to like, you know, just bring it in. White folks gonna be white folk, crackers gonna be crackers. Just suck it in, be black. And then George Floyd happened and then I exploded. After the incident, like I just wasn't right in the mind and it got to a point that I had to go on stress leave from work. Anyway, fast forward, I'm being put in touch with in my mind, she was like my parole officer, but I was put in touch with I'm on stress leave. There's a rep from my work who's keeping an eye on me. So, how's things? You ready to work? Hey, you gonna sue us? Whatever. Like, just keeping an eye on me. And at some point during our interaction, she says, hey, because she could tell that there was a lot of like anger in my voice and that I wanted people to feel, what's that word? I'm trying to think of Eddie Murphy's character, repercussion, consequences of repercussions. And so she gives me a link to something to read about dealing with harassment or violence at work. And I remember reading that shit. It was both in French and English. It says, the title was How to Prevent Violence and Harassment in the Workplace. But the translation in French fucked me up. Like triggered the fuck out of me. Because it says prévenir. It just started with the word, come on, prévenir. Now, for those of you who don't know, I grew up with French people. Went to school with these folks. And I, so a lot of my life lessons came from, during my formative years. My formative years were formed by French folks, French white folks. And there was something about, I really believe there's something about that verb in French is what triggered me. I wasn't thinking, when I first saw prévenir, I think I associate prévenir, because there's a saying we used to say as kids, or we teachers would tell us, is prévenir vaut mieux que guérir. In English, it's there's an actual saying. Sorry, but the word for word is, you know, better be safe than sorry. it's better to prevent bad things and have to deal with bad things. I forget the actual expression in English. But it was stuck in my mind, prévenir vaut mieux que guérir. So when I saw that title, How to Prevent, my first thought is, bitch, you blaming me for this shit? So I thought this was going to documentation about, hey, Blackie, the next time you deal with racism, this is what you need to do. And anyway, so it was hard for me to go through it, to read this actual documentation. Anyways, this week, I finally went through the documentation in it, and I realized it hit me, the context, what they meant. And it reminded me how part of the reason why I was triggered, part of the reason why being in this state. So I probably should have mentioned this. After the racial incident happened, I hate the word. I snitched. I called my I told my manager about the incident and said, "Yo, I can't work with these two with this particular motherfucker anymore." And I was clear. I was like, put my foot down. It's like, yo, man, that's like, I'm done being your Jackie Robinson here. I ain't working with these motherfuckers. And then I gave him the incident, what happened, and the racial incident. And the thing is, by doing that, it felt good doing that, but it also put me in a category. I am now a fucking victim. Like, I understand why they want to use the word survivor. I guess I should be using the word survivor. But as a man, coming to terms with the fact that I am now in the category of human beings that you can call a victim, it fucked with me. Now, I'm sure there's a woman out there going, oh, that's not my problem. Yeah, it's not your problem. But I am talking about how understanding the... I'm trying to say that I understand men who go through shit and would rather die. Would rather die than admit that they were a victim. Either they got beat up, either they got mugged, either they got punked, humiliated, or whatever. But it fucked with my male ego, where I am now in that category. What happened to me is something that wasn't supposed to happen. Making peace with that shit. See, the thing is, we pretty much tell herself that, oh, women, you know, women are used to being victims. It's okay for them to be victims. They're used to being, it's a natural thing to be a victim. Nah, that's the point. Is they've developed the mindset to go through this shit. They've developed everything required to be able to bounce back from being a victim. Men, on the other hand, we are good at denying it. I was in a situation where I remember being in that state that I was in, feeling triggered and everything. I looked at it more like, I didn't look at it as being a victim. I looked at it more as someone punked me into a fight and I backed out of it and I didn't respond. I didn't retaliate. I instead of fighting this person back, instead of responding with violence, I wrote a little letter to my manager about it. I felt like a punk. It just made me feel like a little punk, bitch. So seeing that word, prévenir, it just, all kinds of emotions came up and it just drove me nuts. You know, that's what happened, man. The realization of the meaning attached to the word prevent in French. Also, it had me thinking about how I grew up with the notion that real men handle their business. And handle their business also equals meaning violence with violence. Meaning violence with violence, or being prepared to do good on your threat. Either meaning violence with violence or letting motherfuckers know that you can take them out anytime you feel like it. So I'm imitating Bishop from the character Bishop from Juice. That's a powerful, that was a powerful scene by Tupac where he's imitating Bishop and Bishop. Yeah, I know Bishop. That was his character, man. The way I related to it is yeah, he was just a dude who was tired of being punked by the world. And so he ends up getting the gun to solve his problem. And then everything goes downhill from there. But yeah, I know what it's like to... Hey, maybe this should be a piece about the power of vulnerability. I was in a vulnerable state. And part of that vulnerable state, part of what made it hard to deal with the fact that I was in a vulnerable state was the fact that my male ego refused to accept. I'm still struggling. Refused to accept that I'm in a category of human beings that has the label victim on them. Maybe I should learn how to be a better survivor, but I'm still not there. I'm still processing shit, man. Time heals all wounds, I agree, but but it's taken a while for these wounds to heal. All these realizations, all these thoughts happen after realizing the ideas I associated to the word privdel. I actually had sent a message to a coworker about they meant prevent in the sense that because using violence is illegal. So here are some legal ways for you to handle this situation. Yeah, we don't want you fighting anyone. But what we will tell you is if you manage to plead your... See, that's the problem, by the way. That's some of the story. Is if you manage to plead your case, because it's not easy to accuse a white man of racism, contrary to what you hear, man. Contrary to what you hear, but yeah, accusing a white person of doing some racist shit to white people, yeah, it's... Anyways. But the point was, it was their way of saying, we got your back if racist shit happens to you. Which is a lot, but that's another story. That's another story. Anyways, this concludes your lesson about the verbe privdel. And the reason why it's funny how today I was about to not start with a poem, and I realized that, I wanted a poem, I wanted a rap song that pretty much talks about using the threat of violence or using violence to respond to the threat of violence. And what perfect track than Warning by Biggie Smalls. I was going to go with Threat by Jay-Z, but if you thought I fucked up Warning, I would have fucked that one up the most. But anyways, yeah. All right, boys and girls, this concludes today's episode. Thank you for listening. Now, I should mention in the show notes, I mentioned earlier, like, there's, if you go in the show notes, the notes are broken down into three sections: intro, news, and random thoughts, and final thoughts. And there's an extra section called other links. Other links, think of other links of if you and I were friends, it's shit that I would either forward you, coworkers, I would forward you to you at work, or post on my Facebook. It's something that I would share with other people. All right, that's all it is. Okay, all right. And last but not least, yeah, this concludes today's episode. If you want to holler at me, you can find me on these Twitter streets using the handle @BBlizzak or @ShutUpPodcast, or on TikTok using @B.Black, or on Instagram Threads using @ShutUpPodcast. But my real stomping ground on the internet is ShutUpPodcast.com. What was that? I said ShutUpPodcast.com. One more time, homeboy. My hearing aid wasn't on. I said ShutUpPodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. You can subscribe to this podcast using the RSS feed that's on the website, or go to any site where you get your podcast, except Spotify. I was going to say long story. I'm not on Spotify yet. I'm not on Spotify, period. Thank you for listening. And remember, seriously, boys and girls, be kind to your favorite podcast. Oh yeah, one more thing. Peace.
I am your king now!